Crusade Channel News. News you can trust, because the truth can be trusted. From the Crusade Channel News Desk, here's Celeste Youngblood.
Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Youngblood, coming to you from the Veritas Radio Network News Bureau with your headlines at this hour on this Thursday, October 12, 2017. California wine country is racing to save their vineyards from total destruction. Then I'll have your stock market report and saint of the day. The United States has left UNESCO over its anti-Israel bias. President Trump is suggesting aid to Puerto Rico may be scaled back. A Harvard author and lecturer explains why millennials are six times more dissatisfied with the democratic system than the youth of 1940. And an Egyptian priest was killed by an act of Muslim orthodoxy yesterday. We open again with the story of the raging California wildfires, which have already charred about 170,000 acres of land and have destroyed around 3,500 structures. Reuters reports that there are now two dozen fires spanning eight counties, which have killed 23 people and left hundreds missing. The low humidity and increased winds today have only worsened the situation, as they create the perfect conditions for not only the loss of areas regained through firefighting, but the formation of new wildfires. The National Weather Service reported this morning that these dry winds with gusts of up to 35 miles per hour, combined with a complete lack of precipitation, are expected to continue for the next 3 days. Vineyard owners are scrambling to salvage whatever is left of their grapes and their bottled wines. Here is Reuters' report on the situation.
California's high-end vintners rushing to pick end of the harvest grapes and save this year's production from one of the worst wildfires that's ravaged the wine country. Blazes have destroyed or damaged at least 16 wineries in Napa Valley, and trade groups say many more there and in neighboring Sonoma Valley are unreachable due to spreading flames. Reuters reporter Alexandria Sage is in Sonoma County.
I've spoken to a few people who work in the vineyards who are trying to salvage the millions of dollars of wine that are still in tanks. They need fuel. They need fuel for generators so that they can control the temperature of this wine. It's all a big rush to salvage what they can from these horrible fires.
California winemakers last year shipped 238 million cases of wine within the United States, worth $34 billion. It's not yet clear what the wildfire impact will be. One silver lining, though, recent heat waves in the region forced many vineyards to speed up their harvests, leaving just 10% of the fruit on the vine. And experts say the vines themselves don't burn easily, and in some cases may have blocked fires from spreading in recent days.
Most of the underbrush around me has burned. Most of the vineyards themselves seem to be safe, although there are plenty of wineries. The actual property, the wineries have been completely burnt to the ground. That said, people aren't sure about the quality of the grapes that remain on the vines. The smoke could alter the taste.
Many of the grapes that have yet to be picked in Napa and Sonoma are Cabernet Sauvignon, and one expert says smoke could create a flavor ranging from campfire to cigarette butts and ash.
And now it's time for your market report. Fox Business reports that cryptocurrency Bitcoin broke through the $5,000 barrier for the first time today. Investors have been warning about the risks of investing in Bitcoin, but those warnings are falling flat on the news of the 8% jump it took today. Bitcoin, which is less than 9 years old, has increased fivefold in price since the beginning of 2017. Now, here is Reuters' David Pollard with a little information on the world markets and explaining what investors are expecting when third quarter earnings reports come out.
Takeoff time for Lufthansa as its shares post strong gains in Europe. The German carrier, a top index performer, on news it may get the first bite of assets of insolvent Air Berlin. Otherwise, though, the mood mostly grounded. Europe, for one day at least, bucking the bullish trend elsewhere.
Just look at the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 just registering multiple record highs in the lead up to this earnings season. So there seems to be general confidence that earnings are going to continue to move higher in the US.
Helped, it seems, at least for energy stocks, by crude's 20% rise in prices since June. A possible 80% chance of a Fed rate hike by year-end, doing little to dampen enthusiasm either.
We're still talking about very loose monetary policy. And if you take a backdrop of good global growth, low inflation, supportive monetary policy, it means that investors are willing to take a lot of risk.
Europe ready for risk too. It could outstrip U.S. earnings growth. 5.3% penciled for Stoxx 600 numbers, a full percentage point ahead of S&P 500 estimates. As for sectors, banks are described as an easy bet by some. Others may look to another type of risk to cash in.
The world has become significantly more unstable with a Donald Trump presidency. The defense sector will improve enormously. Things like Lockheed Martin, Boeing.
A stronger euro is blamed for taking the edge off appetite in Europe. Traders nervous about its impact on exporters. But after multiple index highs in Asia, Samsung is to report on Friday. A record set of results expected that many hope will give a taste of the earnings to come.
Fox Business reports that stocks opened slightly lower on Wall Street this morning. AT&T lost 3% in early trading, and Comcast also fell 2.3%. Banks J.P. Morgan Chase and Citigroup reported higher earnings than expected, and bond prices rose. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note, however, fell to 2.33%. Now let's check in and pull the latest figures from Wall Street. Yesterday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 42 points and as of right now is down 4 points at 22,869. The Nasdaq yesterday closed up 16 points and as of right now is up 4 points at 6,608. The S&P 500 yesterday closed up 5 points and as of right now is down 2 points at 2,553. Crude oil is down 49 cents at $50.81 a barrel. In the world markets, the Japanese Nikkei closed up 74 points and the Hong Kong Hang Seng closed up 70. The London FTSE 100 closed up 23 and the DAX in Germany closed up 12. Today's quote of the day comes from G.K. Chesterton. "We must leave people, each one, their right to make their own decision, and that is hard. But let us remember that God has been doing that for each one of us for a very long time. None of us can see all ends, but He can." Coming up next after the break in Lives of the Saints and Martyrs, we honor Blessed Maria Teresa Fascia. You're listening to Crusade News.
Hey folks, when I was a kid, being called a bookworm was an insult of the highest order. Today, people want to be called bookworm to solve the world's political problems. At the Founders Trading Post, we have the books you need to help solve the world's problems and save your soul, too. From Humility of Heart to Patrick Henry, American Statesman, get started on your bookworm bona fides today by browsing to mikechurch.com/books. Most of our books are also signed by the authors. Shop like a Jeopardy champion today at mikechurch.com. /books or call 844-5-CRUSADE.
Born in Genoa in 1881 to a middle-class family, Maria Giovanna Fascia received confirmation of her call to religious life after attending the canonization of St. Rita of Cascia by Pope Leo XIII. Maria's family was not so receptive to her religious vocation. She was accepted into the Order of St. Augustine on Christmas Day 1906 and took the name Maria Teresa at her profession 1 year later. She was well respected in her convent and was made abbess from 1920 until her death in 1947. Aside from spreading devotion to St. Rita of Cascia, Blessed Maria Teresa's passion was the construction of an orphanage for girls, which began in 1925 and was completed in 1938. She was diagnosed with a malignant breast tumor and referred to it as her treasure and the most beautiful gift to her from Jesus. Her struggles with diabetes and asthma also caused her great suffering. Maria Teresa Fascia died in 1947, and she was buried next to St. Rita of Cascia. Blessed Maria Teresa Fascia, pray for us. ABC News via the Associated Press is reporting that the United States is pulling out of the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, or UNESCO, based on what Washington perceives as an anti-Israel bias and its great need for reforms. The United States has not financially supported UNESCO since 2011, when Palestine was included as a member nation. The United States, which owes UNESCO about $550 million in back payments, maintained an office at UNESCO headquarters and has tried to influence policy behind the scenes. The U.S. government will seek permanent observer status come December 2018, when the withdrawal from UNESCO will go into effect. The decision was made by Secretary of State Rex Tillerson after internal deliberation with other members of the government. The Washington Times is reporting that President Trump suggested via Twitter that he is considering scaling back emergency relief services in Puerto Rico. His tweets read, quote, "Puerto Rico survived the hurricanes. Now a financial crisis looms largely of their own making," says Cheryl Atkison. "A total lack of accountability," say the governor. "Electric and all infrastructure was disaster before hurricanes. Congress to decide how much to spend. We cannot keep FEMA, the military, and first responders who have been amazing under the most difficult circumstances in PR forever." Although the president has received criticism from some, like San Juan Mayor Carmen Yulín Cruz, he was praised by Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rosello for the timeliness with which the administration met the island's needs with supplies. Rosello has admitted that the distribution of those supplies has been slow and that he is launching an investigation into the causes. The Guardian reported yesterday that although the U.S. government is providing 200,000 meals a day to Puerto Rico, it is not nearly enough to meet the needs of the 2 million people who need them. Over 30% of Puerto Ricans are still without potable drinking water. FEMA officials have privately acknowledged that there is a daily shortfall of 1.8 million to 5.8 million meals. Chef Jose Andres, founder of World Central Kitchen, which coordinates 90,000 meals a day for Puerto Ricans through his contract with FEMA, said that his contract to provide just 20,000 meals a day expired on Tuesday and that there is no rush to renegotiate a new contract, putting the whole operation at risk of closure. Andres said, quote, "There is no urgency in the government response to this humanitarian crisis. They have all the officials and armed guards at headquarters, but they have no information about the island. They don't even have a map they can share about who needs food. FEMA is overpaying and it is under-delivering." As it stands now, only 16% of Puerto Ricans have access to electricity. Fewer than 400 of the island's 5,000 miles of roadway are open to traffic, and the island's economy is completely stagnant. Yascha Mounk is an author and lecturer on political theory at Harvard University. He contends that millennials are six times more dissatisfied with the democratic process and are questioning it more than their 1940s counterparts did at their age.
The degree to which there is deep dissatisfaction with the democratic system across the board, but especially among younger people, should have us very worried. So I've been looking at a couple of different polls. The main one I draw from is called the World Value Survey. It's basically the same set of questions asked every 5 or 6 years in over 100 countries. And they have this battery of questions around how people feel about their democracy, whether they actually are still in favor of democracy, that people hadn't really looked at. One of the assumptions was that people really care for democracy, that they would say it's important for them to live in a democracy, that they would reject authoritarian alternatives to democracy. And in some of my recent work, I show that that's actually not the case. Over two-thirds of people born in the 1930s and 1940s say that it's essential to them to live in a democracy. Less than one-third of millennials do. 20 years ago, 6% of young affluent Americans said that they were open to army rule. Now it's 35%. It's increased by nearly sixfold. And finally, when you look at our politics, it's clear that we've elected a president who has threatened to jail his political opponent, who said that he would leave Americans in suspense about whether he'd accept the outcome of the election. Yeah, I think there's a couple of reasons why young people are more skeptical about democracy. For most Americans, a lot of the reason why they supported liberal democracy has always been that it delivered for them, that it made them wealthier, that they could say, you know what, I'm a lot wealthier than my parents. For young people, that's no longer true. If you are 30 years old, you only have a 1 in 2 chance of making more money than your parents did at the same age. And so it's much easier for them to focus on the things that are bad in our system without understanding how much worse things could be. I hope that some of the young people who in my surveys said, we don't care so much about democracy, it's not that important to us, have woken up to just how crucial these issues are over the last month. So I don't think Americans are going to go down without a big fight.
Jihad Watch is reporting that Egyptian Coptic priest Father Salman Sheta was murdered by an extremist who was either an ISIS affiliate or a member of Salafism. Father Sheta was in Cairo's northeastern suburb of El Marg with another priest, Father Benjamin Mofa, when the perpetrator blocked the way of Father Sheta's car and asked him to get out of the vehicle. He proceeded to hit the priest in the head with a cleaver and ran away. The murderer has been apprehended and his motives for the murder are being investigated. There are no details as of now on Father Benjamin Mofa, aside from the fact that he was also assaulted. Eternal rest grant to Father Sheta and let perpetual light shine upon him. Through the mercy of God, may he rest in peace. In this Celestial Musings, I wish to comment on the Harvey Weinstein story. At first, I was hesitant to cover it at all because I felt it was one of those stories that are more of a distraction from the truly important goings-on out there. I do, however, have a couple of things I would like to say. I hope Mr. Weinstein gets the help he needs and comes to learn that he is loved by God, and that God has a purpose for him and a plan for his happiness that has nothing to do with hurting others. I hope that in the airings of women's experiences, and especially through the use of the undercover audio that is going around, that women who are being similarly harassed will hear it and recognize that they are not alone, that they should not stand for this kind of treatment, and I hope that they will extricate themselves from their abusive situations. I also hope that the sexually abusive men out there will look at Mr. Weinstein and recognize themselves in him and realize the wrong they do and seek help for themselves. May God bring healing to all who perpetrate and suffer from sexual abuse. Send me your news tips at news@veritasradionetwork.com. Keep yourself tuned in to the Veritas Radio Network, king-size truth from radio-size speakers. Coming up next, The True Money Show. Celeste Youngblood signing off for the Crusade Channel. Serving you, serving truth.
You've just heard Crusade Channel News. Live on your news, talk, and saints leader, the Crusade Channel. And did you know that all newscasts are available as podcasts on CrusadeChannel.com and on our free app available in the Google Play and iTunes stores? Surprised?
If I woke up tomorrow with my head sewn to the carpet, I wouldn't be more surprised than I am right now.
Crusade Channel News. News you can trust. Because the truth can be trusted.